Man, it's been a special service already, you know, having a few baptism and seeing others. And man, really excited to honor Sherwin and Debbie today, and looking forward to more of that. Thank you, Sheridan, just for what you shared, you know, a minute ago. Sheesh, that was just meaningful, just remembering what an honor it is to come together every week and remember Jesus, isn't it? And so I'm looking forward to more of that. You know, before we kind of dive more into that, we're just going to be, for a minute, kind of going into our teaching for this morning that we're going to be going through for the next few weeks. This is my title today, okay? How to be wildly happy. How to be wildly happy. Here's a question just to start us off, okay? Have you ever been in one of those Amazon package conversations with your spouse or your roommate, okay? And what I mean is this, where, you know, an Amazon package shows up at the door and that you had ordered and your spouse doesn't really know what it is. And they open it and they're like, so what is this, you know, that you got, you know, again? And then you have to, you know, you have to go into convince mode of why what you got is going to really change your life and help you, you know, for the better and stuff. And so it's like, so you got an air fryer? I'm like, yes, well, think about it, you know, like, all the money we're gonna save because, you know, broccoli, just when you crisp it, we're gonna be so much healthier. And, you know, you just kind of click into that mode, you know, for a while. And it's always funny how that's like, when Bree thinks that way, it's always like, no, we're on a budget. And then when it's something I want, I'm like, we have space in our budget, don't we, for some of this kind of stuff? And so it's funny how, like, I feel like I'm really pure-hearted about money until it comes to my own money, you know? And so sometimes that's just kind of how it goes. But it's amazing that even at, like, whatever, midnight when you made that purchase, 5 minutes before that, you didn't even know that that thing existed. And somehow, like, somebody on the interwebs convinced you that it was going to change your life. Now, we're about to go into a big season like that, aren't we? Kind of the main season for it coming up here in a little bit. We're coming out of a season that's a lot like that. You know, even our political season of, if you do this, it'll make your life terrible. If you do this, it'll make your life fantastic, you know? So there's all these voices that are coming at us all the time. Worry, judgment, anxiety, anger, all those kind of things. Remember what Jesus talks about in the midst of worry, anxiety, judgment, anger? Oh, he has this teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about having a good eye versus having a bad eye. The idea of, how do you look at the world? You look at the world of, God's given me plenty. There's enough to go around. I can be generous. I can share. It's going to be okay. Or is it the opposite, where I got to keep it, you know, all for myself? And so we figured, man, during this time of the year, we need to kind of just have a reminder, you know, about some of those things. And so we're going to be talking about that for the next few weeks. And I'm actually, we've talked a lot about it actually over the last several years. And so I actually made a page on our website that's a resource page, you know, that has all of our teachings we've done over the last 4 years on generosity, money, all those kind of, you know, kinds of things, and put some book recommendations on there, some video recommendations, some articles that we'll put in the Thursday email if you want to go back and look at all the things. I'm going to try to be really simple today because there's so much you can talk about when you talk about generosity, giving, and things like that. I actually think I wrote like 4 different teachings and then had to, you know, try to condense it into one thing. And so I'm trying to be really simple because Jesus talked so much about it. 15 to 25% of his teachings were about this concept. And so we're going to dive into it. Now, but for me, this is the main thing that I want us to get out of today is that Jesus wants us to be extremely happy. Jesus wants us to be extremely happy. Sometimes I don't think we believe that he does. You know, but he calls it something different. You know, in John chapter 10, Jesus uses a different word for it. He uses the word life. You know, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. And not just any kind of life, right? Life to the full, an abundant life. That word Zoe, so cool. Wish we could do a whole teaching on it. There's so many connections between how do you obtain and walk in life and what you do with your possessions. They're like very linked in the scriptures. You can do your own study on it. Here's a passage we're going to be talking about with it in 1 Timothy 6. A lot of what I'm going to be talking about today are things that you've heard. But again, it's helpful when you've been, you know, kind of that frog in the water kind of thing, you know, where you need someone to kind of help you out, you know, of the boiling water that we get into. And so hopefully these are just helpful reminders. 1 Timothy 6 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. commanded them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I love how Jesus, or you know, how Paul writing to Timothy right here talks about, I want you, you have an opportunity to take hold of life that is truly life. But what's it connected to? It's connected to what you put your hope in, to you being generous, rich in good deeds, and willing to share. And so for Jesus, if you want to be wildly happy, if you want to take up his offer on having an abundant life, so much of it is tied to being generous. But where does that start? It starts in this fantastic line right here. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. You know that God is like crazy generous? And it's not even like, generosity isn't something that God does, it's who he is. He is literally incapable of not being generous. He's incapable of not being generous. There's actually a moment, you know, of course, okay, so Moses on Mount Sinai, God comes, the first time God ever describes himself, and then it becomes the most quoted scripture throughout the Bible. God says, the Lord, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Talks about, you know, I have to deal with evil for a few generations, but then my love is maintained for thousands of generations. And it's kind of this picture that he gives Moses, this abundant God. I want to take care. I have so much care, you know, for you. It's funny, actually in Jeremiah, you know, there's a moment where God tells Jeremiah, do not pray for the people. Because if you pray for the people, I'm probably going to be generous. And they need to kind of learn a lesson, you know, right here. And so he's like, don't pray for them because I'll probably give them mercy. It's kind of like, so we just had Halloween, right? And so my 2.5-year-old daughter, of course, you know, she was locked in this year, you know, to Halloween and her candy. So, you know, the other night even give her, you know, she's like, can I have some jelly beans, you know, that her aunt gave her for Halloween. And so we're like, yeah, you can have a few jelly beans. She eats her jelly beans. She is fired up. The joy on, you know, a little kid's face when they get some candy, you put it in front of them, and it's even like two jelly beans. They're just stoked, you know, they're fired up. But of course, what happens after she finishes those jelly beans? She knows that dad is a little bit of a pushover. She knows. And so she comes to dad, and she can kind of milk it now, right? Where she comes, she gives me that little eye, snuggles up next to me, says softly, Daddy, can I have one more? And then, of course, one more. And I'm like, Mari, do not ask me again because I will probably say yes. And you don't need it, you know, right now. But even on Mount Sinai, remember there's a moment with God and Moses where God is like, man, I really need to, these people are evil. I need to wipe them out. And what does Moses do? He leans into God's mercy. He's like, God, don't you remember? You're generous. You're merciful. And God's like, you're right. Okay. You know, and like, and he's merciful to them. God, you know, in some ways, it's kind of like God is so generous. He wants to abundantly bless. You know, you think about like Jesus's ministry and his life and the abundance that came from Jesus's ministry. Remember some of these things? Like basketfuls of food that were left over when he fed, you know, the 5,000, or fish that he said, hey, let your nets down. And then fish come in that literally starts sinking, you know, some of the boats, or whole towns are gathered around him. He heals the entire town. Remember how many bottles of wine that Jesus made at the wedding that it would translate to today? Jesus made 750 bottles of wine just for that one party. Like, Jesus, that is excessive, okay? Like, but it's this idea where Jesus in some ways is like wastefully generous. He's so generous, you know, to us. A lot of times, you know, that wine in the scripture symbolized blood. And we know that Jesus' blood so often symbolizes his forgiveness, you know, for us. You think about that word even, forgiveness. How much God wants to give to us. There's enough blood to go around, like an excessive amount, you know, of blood to go around from God. Sometimes I think that we have like, we can have a view of God that he has this disposition towards us, that he's disappointed in us from the jump. or that he's kind of sitting there hoping that we're going to, you know, kind of testing us all the time and looking to see what we're going to do. And then he might, you know, kind of bless us. But it says that God sends rain on both the good and the evil. He blesses people that are wicked because God, I mean, God literally, he has to be generous. That's who he is. You know, I love this passage in Romans chapter 8, you know, where it talks about, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And then there's this chapter, this passage in Malachi, you know, we've read before, you know, about tithes and offerings, you know, where it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't even have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them with insects. Your grapes will be abundant. And then he keeps kind of going on and on. I love what God says. He says, just test me. You think I want to be so generous to you. Just give me a little bit and watch what I do, you know, with some of that. I love, you know, in the summertime with again, my daughter, it's like there's moments where we're at the pool and I'm sitting there, you know, like, why don't you jump in? And she's on the side and she's scared. It's like, no, I don't want to jump in. But I'm like, if you jump in, you'll become addicted to it. It'll be the best thing of your life. You're going to love it. Just jump in. And she's like, no, I can't. I'm like, you have nothing to be afraid of. Just try it out and watch what happens, you know, with some of that. But God has this way, you know, of you give me a few loaves and fishes, that's all you got. Watch what I do with it. You got a little bit of oil? Watch this. You don't have any wine? You just got some water? Watch what I do with that. You got a few small copper coins? You just have a mustard seed of faith? Watch this. Check it out what I do with this. I'm going to take care of you. Stop worrying. Stop withholding. Stop fighting. Stop looking at the world through the lens of, man, I don't have enough. I need more. Don't you know I'm going to give you everything you need? Just stick close to me. Bring what you got. And watch what I do with it. You know, what's crazy to me is that every time that I have been trying to be generous, especially those moments where I've tried to be faithfully generous, you know, where it's going to hurt me a little bit. And I'm like, okay, but I still need to give this. It's amazing to me because pretty much every time without fail, within like the day or the week or the month, God somehow has a way of returning it back to me. And I know there are so many stories that we could tell, you know, in this room of when we gave and it was a little bit, you know, of a faithful give and God returned it back in a really cool way. You know, I actually think God's a little bit competitive with us. God is like, there is no way you're going to outgive me. There's no way you're going to outgive me. He says, you give me one, I give you 100. Okay, that's kind of how God rolls. You know, in this passage, you know, he talks, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be used to you. Or how about in Mark chapter 10, when there he says, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and, you know, in the age to come. God is so overly generous with us and so wants to be generous with us. But here's the thing, you know, sometimes for us, when we there's a lot of responses we have when we receive God's gifts. There's a lot of different kinds of responses, you know, that we can have. One of those to me is we can just be blind to God's gifts in our lives, where we don't believe that God's generous, so we don't even look for it. We don't think he is, even though he's pouring it on, you know, for us. We just don't even really look. We can be blind. Another one is we can hoard God's gifts. Or abuse, you know, God's gifts. Use them for ways they weren't meant to. You know, there's a moment with Israel, right, when they're saved out of Egypt. It says that on the way out of Egypt, God literally had the Egyptians give them gold. And so he piles them up with gold. They're slaves, they're poor. God makes them wealthy as they're walking out of Egypt. And so that they can go into the promised land and then be a blessing for others too. And they can be taken care of. But what do? When they kind of get to the other side and stuff starts not going their way, how do they start using that gold? Start setting up a golden calf, start worshiping that. A lot of times we can abuse God's gifts, hoard God's gifts. Sometimes we can become entitled with God's gifts or ungrateful. Remember with the prodigal son? Prodigal son comes back. Dad's like, let's go. Throws a huge party for him. Older brother is like, why didn't I get that? Why don't I ever get that? And the dad comes. He's like, dude, don't you know everything that I have is yours? It has always been yours. But somehow in their entitlement, kind of not being grateful or thinking that we deserve something or because it's our own efforts that got us, you know, some of these gifts. Here's one that really, this is the one that I feel like I have to deal with the most, is I can feel really guilty with God's gifts. Because I feel like in my life, God has blessed me so much in so many ways and has given me so much that I feel like he has like a limit. And so here's, you know, an example. Like for me, the last couple of years, I've had some like chronic health stuff. And the last couple of months, you know, I've kind of like just been thinking about it more. And I've realized that, you know, like the Bible talks so much about asking for healing and all that. And I realized like I don't ever ask for healing. And I realize it's because I don't think I deserve it. I feel like other people deserve it more than I do. Like God's like, Nick, I've given you a lot, dude. I've given you so much stuff. And so here's a little bit of pain for you just to kind of keep you humble, you know, so that you don't get too crazy. But I need to take care of a lot of other people right now. So just be grateful for what you got. And that's how I've lived a lot where I'm just like, yep, okay. You know, like I'm just going to be an obedient. Thank you, God, for what you've given me. But I feel guilty. But then I've started to realize that I think there's a flawed view of God that I have in that somewhere. Because I wouldn't treat my daughter that way. I wouldn't, you know, give gifts to my daughter and then be like, you know what, you've been given too much. Here's some pain for you, you know, and have her live with consistent pain for her whole life. And then when she asks, I'm like, nope, sorry, be grateful, you know, with it. Like, I want to abundantly bless her. I don't want to spoil her because I know that's going to kind of bring her down a road that's going to turn into destruction, you know, for her life. But I want to give her great gifts. And I was reminded, you know, of that passage, of course, that Jesus tells us in Matthew 7. It says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You know, I really think that God, what he wants for us with his gifts is just to be grateful, but then also to be generous. There's this word or this book that I was reading in a book called Sacred Fire, and it's about this kind of idea of moving into like maturity, you know, as a Christian. And it gives basically these 10 rules for living a mature life. The first one is this one. Live in gratitude and thank your Creator by enjoying your life. And that has hit me like a lot the last few months because I feel like I'm grateful for what God's given me, but I tend not to enjoy it because I live in kind of a guilt of I have it too good sometimes. And I thank God, I love this quote from the book, says the highest compliment we can give a gift giver is to enjoy the gift thoroughly. We owe it to our Creator to appreciate things, to be as happy as we can be. Life is meant to be more than a test. And so we might add this to our daily prayer. Give us today our daily bread and help us to enjoy it without guilt. Our level of maturity and generativity is synonymous with our level of gratitude, and mature people enjoy their lives. Now, I'm amazed by Jesus because when Jesus walked around, he lived just in a different world. He was never overcome by worry or greed or needing to, you know, where is stuff going to come from? Jesus walked around confident. God's going to take care of my needs. He's going to bless me. And so he walked around open-handed and open-hearted. And I think we can do the same. And so to me, I just want to leave us kind of with three things that to me have been helpful for me and that I've been trying to practice that maybe would be helpful for you. And we're going to talk more about generosity in the next few weeks, but my main goal today was just to remind us of how generous God is to us. That we have a God that so wants to take care of us. But to me, this week, reflect on this. Imagine if God came to you and said this, I want you to know something. Your life is going to be amazing. It'll have its shares of highs and lows, moments of triumph and seasons of tragedy and struggle. But one thing you'll never have to worry about is money. You will always have more than enough. I've got you covered. So you're free to live as generously as you want. Imagine if God came to you and said that. How would that change the way you live on a day-to-day basis? How would that change and transform the way that you give and you open your heart, your home, your talents, your knowledge, your gifts? Maybe instead of wondering, how much should I give? We'd start wondering, man, how much should I keep? To me, that's one thing to reflect on. This is something I've been trying to say out loud to myself, you know, just as kind of a declaration where I said, you know, I'm experiencing wealth every day. Money is not and never will be a problem for me. My God is an abundant provider who meets every need. Because I am blessed, I will always be a blessing. I will lead the way with irrational generosity because I know it's truly more blessed to give than to receive. And the last thought is just, you know, something this week. Do something randomly generous this week. Generosity has a way of healing a worried, anxious, and calloused heart. And so if you want to be happy, it starts with you giving a little of your generosity and watch what God does to return it back to you. You know, in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking a lot more about this. What I love about generosity is that Jesus always connects it with joy. And I think that's because when we are generous, that's when we get to be most like God. Prayer, fasting, all that, you know, helps singing, helps us connect us to God. But when we're generous, we are being like God. So that's why I think we feel so much joy when we're just being a little bit or irrationally generous. So as we leave, you know, today, let's remember this. You have a Father who is extravagantly generous and wants to bless you like crazy. Let that free you to live with open hands and open heart. Because according to Jesus, the happiest life is the life that's lived generously. You know, there's a couple people that have really been so generous to us. And that's Sherwin and Debbie. You know, they have been so generous in opening up their home, their lives, their talents for the benefit of us. And I think they would tell you that God has been so generous to them and has returned back to them 100 times, you know, what they've put into it. And to share about that more, Tom and Kelly Brown are going to come share a little bit more about Sherwin and Debbie.